الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. صدق الله العظيم. Before anything, it is very important to always correct our intention. Our intention for gathering here, for me speaking, for you listening, specifically this entire jalsa, is mainly to get the pleasure of Allah, to get the friendship of Allah, to get the love of Allah, to correct our lives, to become closer to Allah. What really, that is our objective, our primary objective in life. What Hazrat Maulana spoke about yesterday is that we have to make akhirat our objective and the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that is our objective, we are successful. If that is not our objective, we are in a loss. Me the speaker, if it's not my objective, I will speak here, but it will be of no benefit. Not to me. Maybe people might practice, but not to me. And if those who are sitting, if we haven't made that our objective, if it's just another weekend out, or we had to come, or our friend said, let's just go, let's see what's happening, or we'll go and listen to the bayan, then we will get benefit, but our benefit will be very, very minimal. The first thing we have to do is correct our intention. In this path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah ta'ala grant me tawfiq of saying that which is correct. May Allah inspire me to say what is correct and what is beneficial for myself and for everyone. In this path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the big challenges we all face, alhamdulillah, generally, for those who are here in this crowd, in this gathering, in this wajma, alhamdulillah, to a great extent, many parts of Allah's obedience are found in our life. Whether we are doing it correctly or not, that is a different thing. Whether it is accepted or not is a very frightening, very worrying thing. But alhamdulillah, by the great kindness of Allah, majority of us would probably be performing our 5 times salah every day. We would be keeping fast in Ramadan. The quality might not be very good, but alhamdulillah, the amal is there. And like that, the important branches of Islam, to a certain extent, alhamdulillah, should be prevalent in majority of our lives. But where we fall short is that in this path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time comes when we're looking and we're finding, but how come? I am trying, I want Allah's love, I want to become close to Allah, I want to become the friend of Allah, I want to feel that connection in my heart. When I perform salah, I want to feel like I am speaking to Allah. When I make tilawat of Quran, I want to feel like I am really discussing with Allah. I am taking the lessons of Quran. But why not? And this is that first, that one very big barrier which most salikin, myself and all, many, many people unfortunately, we face this year. Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi alayhi said so much so. He said many people from the beginning of their lives starting this effort, till the end of their life they carry on this effort. But still they find they haven't achieved what they need to achieve. The main barrier which is stopping us from getting Allah's love is that we have sins in our life. And these sins, this is our major problem. Our Hazrat Murana Abdul Hamid Sahib, entire bayan of Hazrat Murana was, sins our biggest enemy. Really, that which has brought the greatest destruction to people's lives, personally, socially, in our homes, in our areas, in our societies, in our country, in the whole world, the biggest problem we as Muslims face is that there are sins in us. And this is the reason why very little progress. Alhamdulillah, to a great extent, a lot of progress of deen in the world. But in ourselves, in our own hearts, we find years have went by, we are trying, we are making zikrullah, we are coming for majalis. But how come that no progress? The barrier which is stopping us is the sin. And the sin so badly it affects us. One is, as I said, on an international plane, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran speaks, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. You want to know why there is so much corruption, so much problems, so much evil which has spread in the world? It is only because of that which people have earned. This corruption which has spread in the world is because of the sins of men. A very interesting incident. The daughter of Halaku Khan. Halaku Khan was one of those very tyrant rulers who at one time, with his hordes of the Mongolians, the Mongols, they swept through the whole Muslim world and killed, massacred, how many hundreds of thousands of people would have been killed. So much so that there was no place left in the Muslim world which there was still Islamic Khilafat, till finally, alhamdulillah, Allah saved the Muslim world through Egypt. at that time, when Halaku Khan's armies went through and they swept through the Muslim world, the daughter of Halaku Khan, the princess, or maybe she had become the queen by that time, she called up a certain alim, a Muslim scholar, and she spoke to him and she said that I want to ask you a few questions. He said, no problem, you can ask. She said, my question to you is that, do you believe Allah exists? He said, yes, we believe Allah exists. Do you believe that Allah can make whoever He wants victorious? Yes, I believe that. I have full yaqeen and conviction. Do you know that we have become victorious and you Muslims have been defeated under us? He said, yes, I know that also, that we have been defeated, you people have become victorious over us. So she said, then isn't this enough proof that Allah loves us more than He loves you? So he said, no, that I can't agree with. He says, possibly you might have seen a shepherd with his herd, with his flock of sheep. So she said, yes, many times. So he said, tell me, behind every shepherd there are always sheepdogs, and these sheepdogs are meant to protect the entire herd. Is this correct? She said, yes, it's correct. He said, now what happens if one of the sheep or one of the goats becomes stubborn and he runs out from the flock? What happens? So she said, in that case, he'll send his dogs to get the goats back. The dogs will chase, catch the goat and bring it back to the flock. He said, once the sheep is brought back to the flock, now is there any problem? Would the dog be allowed to hurt the sheep, hurt the goat? She said, never. He said, exactly in the same manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of our weaknesses and sins, Allah has put dogs upon us. Who are the dogs? You kuffar are the dogs. And you have now, since we have come out of Allah's obedience, we are involved in sin, so much evil. Since that has happened, these dogs continuously come. Why? Just because Allah wants to give us a wake up message, come back onto my obedience. The moment the Muslim Ummah will come onto the obedience of Allah, from that time onwards, Allah will never allow these dogs to harm His servants. We are like this, the flock, the sheep, and we are respected and beloved to Allah. Dog is not respected and beloved. But because Allah is using you just to make us understand, internationally our problems lie in sin. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Murana Muhammad Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayh, he had written a very amazing kitab, may Allah Ta'ala grant all tawfiq of reading Al-I'tidal. Al-I'tidal, in this book here, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh had mentioned the sickness of the Ummah and what is the solution. And in great detail, at that time when a lot of political problems were happening, and in great detail he explained that the main issue in the Ummah is sins of God. If we look in the life of Sahaba, and Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh has in detail mentioned, he said, you will see in every occasion their problem was, their fikr was, their worry was what? They mustn't be Allah's disobedience, mustn't take place in the world. For that reason Allah took them where Allah took them. That is on an international plane. Coming closer by, socially, in our houses, with our friends, with our communities. Why problems? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. I take qasam on Allah. مَا تَوَادَّثْنَان ثُمَّ يُفَرَّقُ بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِذَنْبٍ يُحْدِثُهُ أَحَدُهُمَا. You will see two friends, they are so close. This is the meaning of the hadith. Two friends, they are so close. Husband and wife, they have so much love and compatibility. And suddenly you see that whole marriage is destroyed, it's broken. Two friends never speaking to one another for years on end. What happened? And everyone will look and they say, that was the perfect couple. There was nothing wrong with them. We thought that it was a match made in heaven. What was the problem? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained. The problem, one of them disobeyed Allah. When he turned his back on Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give him a wake up call, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created some difficulties. Sin is what makes our problems in our marriages, in our lives with our friends, in our lives with our families, in our societies. Sin is that which is causing the problem. And when it comes to our own selves, and this is the very, very big thing, when it comes to ourselves, and a person is wondering, why aren't I happy? Why am I not happy in life? Why can't I get that peace and contentment which I heard the awliya of the past had? Why can't I feel the love of Allah? Then it is the sins which is stopping us from reaching it. It is the sins which is making us miserable. It is creating one darkness in the heart. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, when a person commits a sin, نُكِتَتْ فِي قَلْبِهِ نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدَى. A black spot is placed on his heart. If this person removes himself from the sin and he asks Allah for forgiveness, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَقُلَتْ. That black spot is wiped off from his heart. His heart is clean and pure and white. Now he, for whatever reason, now he feels content, he feels happy, he feels peace. And if he carries on, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will carry on blackening his heart till the time comes that this blackness will overcome his heart. And that is the rust which Allah speaks about in the Quran. كَلَّا بَلْرَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, understand very well, listen. It is rust which has appeared on their heart because of their sins. Their sins have created this rust on their heart. Then a person feels lethargic, he feels lazy, he doesn't feel like worshipping Allah. He doesn't feel that love of Allah in his heart. It is sins which creates this condition here. A person goes into depression, he goes into withdrawal symptoms. He doesn't know what to do, he doesn't know how to progress. The whole problem is our sins, our gunas. This is our major enemy. This is our major problem. And if we can overcome this problem, we will be flying on the road to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one major issue we find with sins is that we by nature, Allah has created us from ruh and from nafs. Ruh and our body, these are two parts of our body. Our ruh inclines towards the things of this world, our ruh inclines towards the things of akhirah, our body inclines towards the things of this world. Whichever one we give preference, that becomes dominant over the body. If we give our nafs preference, now our nafs has desires, it has inclinations. If we give it a free rein, وَالنَّفْسُ كَالطِّفْلِ إِن تُهْمِلْهُ شَبَّ عَلَى حُبِّ الرَّضَاعِ وَإِن تُفْطِمْهُ يَنْفَطِمِ Allama Busayri rahmatullahi alayhi gives two examples in Qasida Burda. He says, nafs is like that small little baby. You have to wean it off milk. If you leave that baby to continue drinking milk, Hazrat Ami rahmatullahi alayhi said, in our area, Tana Bowen, we heard of a child 8 years old still drinking milk. The mother never had the himmat and courage to ever take the child off milk. So at the age of 8, he said, here in Tana Bowen, this boy here, he was still drinking milk. Why? His mother never had that courage. If we also don't pluck up the courage, then what will happen? Like that child, once he passes that age now, at that time his mother was supposed to bring the difficulty on herself, bring some difficulty on her child. Our nafs also sometimes, we have to bring some difficulty. We have to stop it from Allah's disobedience. When we do that, what will happen is that there will be difficulty. There's no doubt about it. But in replacement, that child which was drinking milk, now the child starts eating samosa and pizza and now roast meat and steak and what other food the child will eat, what enjoyment he will get. Previously it was just his mother's milk. Like that, what enjoyment a person will receive out of Allah's obedience is what we can't even imagine. Hazrat Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi gives an example in his famous Masnavi. Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi has quoted this in Ma'arif Masnavi. So the example is of this, that there was a king, and this king had only one son. He loved his son a lot, and finally the time came, his son was grown up, so he decided he must get his son married. Mashwara was held between the king and the queen, who must we get our son married to? So he said, I am looking at so and so pious family, they have a very good daughter. And I heard she is very beautiful also, and a very pious deendar family. I must make our son, he must get married in that family. So the wife said, but those people are poor people, those people, they don't have such a high position standing in society, you're going to give your son to them? So he said, Mawlana Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi quotes this here, he said that whoever makes his worry akhirat, Allah will take care of his world. But whoever worries too much of the things of this world here, then Allah will leave him to the world. And this is the meaning of a certain hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then discussion took place, and finally the king, his decision was prevailing. So they decided that the son will get married in that family. And a beautiful princess was brought into the castle now to live with their son. And 1 year goes by and he sees the princess is not getting children. What is happening? And the king was worried, obviously, I want to see my grandchildren before I leave this world. And no grandchildren coming, so the king calls. He calls his ministers. But we need to find out here, between this couple, what is the problem? Why? Maybe my daughter-in-law is sick, is there some problem? So the ministers go, they approach the daughter-in-law, tell us, what is the problem? How come you can't have children? She says, since the time I got married, I never saw my husband. He never visited me, not one night. How do you expect children? So then the king, now there was another mashwara held. All the ministers, different people were called. What are we going to do? Why is it? Where is this boy going? So certain people, they decided to investigate. And in the investigations, they came to realize that there was one old, ugly hag, like a witch. And this woman had cast a spell over this prince. So every evening when coming home, instead of going to his wife, he was going to this woman. And he was taking enjoyment out of this filth and out of this dirt. They were shocked. But this is magic. It casts a spell over your eyes so you can't see. So like this here now, the king said, what are we going to do? Nobody had any solutions. We don't know where the magic is. We don't know what happened. So the king went into ibadah. He went into dhikrullah. He started performing salah. He started making dua to Allah, begging Allah. Oh Allah, I don't know the solution to my problem. You find for me a solution. I don't know what to do. And a few days later, he sees a dream. In his dream, somebody comes to him and says, that this lady has made magic on your son, come with me. So he goes with this person and they go to one graveyard. And in the graveyard, this man digs up one grave. And in the bottom, from the bottom of the grave, the man takes out one whole string of hair which was knotted. 100 knots in the string of hair. And this man started reciting Quran, till the knots opened, and suddenly the spell was undone. At that time, the prince himself was in that lady's house. And when he saw what a lady he was, he must have given such a shriek, such a shout, that this ugly woman like this here, a handsome prince like me coming to her, now the spell was out of his eyes. When he returned home, he looked at his wife, Maharuni rahmatullahi, so to say, he were fallen unconscious. What a beautiful wife, and where he was going and wasting his time. But he actually thought and believed, I am getting enjoyment out of it. Why? That enjoyment was, it was a spell over his eyes. Like that, we also, guna also put a spell over our eyes. We think that haram relationship, oh, that will bring me so much enjoyment in life. That haram relationship will bring nothing but misery. We think if I chat to this woman here and I have just an informal conversation, we just be friends, then it will be okay. And then after that, when misery comes and you say, what happened? What did I do wrong? Now, our husband, Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib, says that unfortunately, we even asking that question. Our question is supposed to be, what didn't I do wrong? Everything in our life is wrong. Our desire, this inclination is a good thing. This desire, it has to be had in our heart. The desire for sin is necessary to progress towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like petrol in our car is necessary for our car to move. And the more the petrol, the further we'll be able to go. Like this here, the more the desire, the further we'll be able to go as long as we burn the desire. So anyway, the sin, it looks outwardly very attractive, but inwardly it is miserable. It only brings problems, it only brings pain, it only brings hardship. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, he said one friend of his, Dr. Ishtiaq Ahmed, from Allahabad. He was studying in the medical college in Allahabad. He was actually staying in some of the Dehat, in the villages. So one occasion he went home for holidays. And in the holidays now, his mother prepared for him a very tasty halwa, sweet dish, made from ghee, from melted butter, and sugar, and nuts, and a whole lot of other things put together. In Pakistan, many of these halwas you'll find. So his mother made for him a whole container and she sent it with him. She said, you take it and for 1 month every day you can have this for your breakfast. You mix this in your milk and you enjoy your breakfast for 1 month. He was very happy. He said, Alhamdulillah, I got snacks for one whole month. I'll be able to keep it. He took it. He locked it up in his locker. And he went for his classes. It was the first day. Now he had some naughty friends. And obviously in every college like this here, in boardings, they are going to be such people who are always out to cause trouble or to trouble other people. So his friends went and they broke the lock. They saw he brought so much halwa. We can have a nice time. We can have a party tonight. He's studying his lessons. They broke his locker open, took all the halwa, ate everything up. When he came the next morning, he's looking at his lock. He said, something wrong. My lock is broken. He opens his locker. He sees nothing left inside. So he understood. I know it must be these boys here. So there was a famous halwa mitai shop in Allahabad, Abdul Qadir Halwai. So many people used to go there. There's a very famous place. He went there and he bought gulab jamun. Gulab jamun is also one kind of halwa. Whoever knows will know. And very, very tasty, very sweet also. Lot of syrup inside. And he brought a whole box of it and he brought it back. And he took a syringe. He was a doctor in the final year. He took a syringe and he injected every single one of them with what we call Jamal Gota. This is a very, very serious type of laxative. As Rakim Sahib says, he said, a person takes it at least 25 times, he'll go toilet after he takes it. He injected in every single one of them. And he went and he left it in his locker. And he thought to himself, now let's see what happens. He brought a new lock also, he placed the lock there. And he went away. His friend said, hey, this boy is trying us, he's testing us. Maybe he thinks the lock will stop us today. So they all went, they broke the lock. They took out all the gulab jamun and they had a party. They distributed it amongst one another. And it wasn't a few minutes later, and the one stomach starts grumbling, another one stomach starts grumbling, and one is running to the toilet, and now the toilets are full, and they're going to the other block to the toilet. And this whole group of students all rushing to the toilet, rushing back. They hardly put the lota down, they have to go back again to the toilet. The principal of the school called a health inspector. He said, my health inspector, please come and see, I think some virus is going around here, because these people, they can't stop going to the toilet. They're just going, coming back. But Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned this incident, And he said that, see, this man here, he sat on his bed and he laughed. He laughed. And he had a good laugh about it. Good. It did them good. They wanted to do that to me. So like that day, we also, our guna, it's little sweet. We feel some sweetness, some enjoyment when we commit guna. It's just little bit. But inside the guna, if only we knew, there is the poison of restlessness, and the poison of darkness, and the poison of separation from Allah, and the poison of misery. It is hidden inside there, in dunya and akhirah. Problems only in sin. If only we knew that much, then would any of those students have taken that gulab jamun had they known that all the laxative is inside? Nobody would have touched it. If only we could understand, and Allah and His Rasul have spelled it out for us over and over in Quran and Hadith, that sins is only bad for you, it's going to bring you no good. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was our walwisa. He only wanted good for us. Shaytan is our enemy. And Shaytan wants bad. He wants to sit on the bed behind and laugh and say, ha ha, I made him a fool. I proved that this man here is an unworthy servant of Allah. That's what Shaytan wants. And Allah doesn't want that. And for that reason, over and over in Quran, Allah stretches His hand of friendship out. And He says, oh, you who believe, just adopt taqwa, give up this sin. Leave these sins in your life. If you take them out of your life, you will see how much enjoyment you will get compared to the misery you were getting before. And like this year, our sins, remember, even with our good actions, these sins bring problems. Just like a person taking vitamins. A person taking vitamins, he's very happy, I'm getting healthy. But if he drinks some poison with it, will the vitamins help him at all? The vitamins can't help. Because the poison is being mixed with it. Alhamdulillah, the vitamins of Islam and Deen are such that definitely they will help. But their help will be limited because of these sins. Our Hazrat Muhammad Abdul Hamid Sahib mentions of a certain friend of his. He was a diabetic and he went to hospital and his sugar levels are just going higher and higher and higher, and they're giving him all sorts of treatment, they're giving him this tablet, that tablet. All medical theories failed with this person because nothing is working. His sugar is just going higher, till they found under his bed a whole lot of chocolate wrappers. Now we're taking the chocolate wrappers from underneath quietly. You take all the tablets you can take, but is it going? The benefit is only limited. If we want to get this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first thing in our life, sin has to come out, guna has to come out. One very interesting incident which I really enjoy quoting, how Hazrat Murana has quoted it also. There was a certain girl, young, small girl. She on one occasion went with her mother to the grocery store and she asked her mother to buy for her a necklace. It's a very beautiful imitation necklace there. So she told me, Mommy, please buy for me this here, buy for me this necklace. So the mother never wanted to spoil the child, so she said, no, I won't buy it for you. What you do, all your savings, you get your savings together. Go help this person out, they'll give you something. Help that person out, they'll give you something. And whatever you saved up till now, your grandmother, what she gives you as presents, all that, bring that money, let's see how much it comes to. So she brought 28 rand, and she gave it to her mother. She said, Mommy, 28 rand, that's how much the necklace cost. So her mother took her to the store and they bought for her this necklace and she put it around her neck. And this girl, wherever she used to go, she used to show off. Hey, you saw my necklace. She wouldn't part with the necklace. The only time she would leave the necklace is when she used to go for bathing. Her mother used to tell her, see, at that time you can't use the necklace because if you're going to have a bath with this necklace, all the color from these, it was a pearl necklace. It looked like a pearl, imitation. All the color from these pearls will go out and then it will be of a funny blue color, green color. It won't look nice. So the girl, she would listen. For bathing, she would never keep a necklace on. The rest of the day, a necklace was always. One day her father came home, and he called his daughter, and he made her sit next to him. He said, Fatima, you love me? She said, of course, daddy, of course I love you. Young, small little girl. And what a lesson she teaches us. So she said, of course, daddy, I love you. So he said, Fatima, if you love me, then give me your necklace. So she said, daddy, please, not my necklace. If you want that latest dollhouse that I bought, then on my favorite dollhouse, I'll give you the dollhouse. You can keep that. But not my necklace, please. So the father said, no, don't worry. He left. After a few days again, he came. He called Fatima. Come here. Fatima sat on his lap. He said, Fatima, you love me, don't you? He said, yes, my father, I love you. He said, Fatima, if you love me, then give me your necklace. She said, daddy, not my necklace. You know that latest toy that you just bought for me. I think it was the latest doll that you bought for me. My favorite doll. Leave the dollhouse. I'll give you the doll also. But not my necklace. The father said, no, don't worry, I don't want this. After a few days, the father came home one day, and there were tears in Fatima's eyes. He said, Fatima, what's the problem? Somebody hurt you, somebody hit you. So she came quietly, tears rolling down her eyes, and she sat on her father's lap. She put her hand in her pocket, and she took out that necklace. And with what pain in her heart, she took out the necklace to give her father. She said, daddy, this is for you. I love you more. So the father put his hand in his pocket and he took the one necklace with one hand. And with the other hand, he took out a genuine pearl necklace worth hundreds of thousands of rands, and he gave it. He said, Fatima, this is for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah speaks to us and says, my banda, don't do this. My banda, give it up for my sake. My banda, I'm not happy with this action of yours. My banda, make this little sacrifice for me. Then at that time we feel hard. But this enjoyment I'm getting, this enjoyment I'm experiencing, what about that? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to say, is telling us, my banda, don't worry. My banda, don't worry. I will give better. The enjoyment you are enjoying is fake. The enjoyment I will give will be genuine enjoyment. Allah will give true enjoyment. That enjoyment, when it enters the heart, then a person will say, and like we have heard certain of our mashayikh saying, that in this world already we experience the enjoyment of Jannah. This is when that person is ready, that for my Allah I am ready to sacrifice everything. Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, over and over, really this was one of the things, in almost every bayan of his, he would say, give your life, even if you have to die, even if you have to get shahadat, don't disobey your creator. In one bayan he said, who can be a more terrible person? Who can be more ungrateful? Who can be more low? Who can be more despised? Who can be a bigger international fool than that person who displeases his master for a little bit enjoyment he brings in his heart? That master who did everything for him, more than his father could help him, more than his mother could help him, more than his father could love him, more than his mother could love him. That Allah who did so much, yet we still disobey Allah. Really, this is something, he says, you take a small child, somebody offers the child sweets, the child loves sweets. But if it's an honorable child, he'll look to his father, he'll say, Abba, you give permission? And if the father gives a nod, then he'll take it. And his father says, no. He says, whenever you're walking on the street and you want to look at that beautiful figure walking next to you, and you want to turn your gaze and look at whatever you want to look at, her face or her legs or whatever you want to look at that time just think that my Rabbah is watching, and turn to the heavens and say, oh my Rabbah, are you happy? Should I take this? This is a Sharif servant. This is an honorable servant. Otherwise that Allah who did everything and we disobey him, then really can there be somebody more foolish than us? This guna has to come out. We have to realize guna is not a small thing, it is a very serious thing. Because this is disobeying our Creator who did everything for us. So the enjoyment is temporary, it's not complete. And when Allah will repay, Allah will give genuine enjoyment back. Shaykh Ibn Ata Iskandari rahmatullahi, one of the great Sufis of the past, he said, when Allah deals with us, Allah doesn't deal with us on credit. If you give Allah today, Allah will give you today. Jannah is there. Mana ke mir. Gulshan-e Jannat to dur hai. We admit mir. O mir, O sir, we admit. The gardens of Jannah are far. Lekin arif hai, jo khaliq-e Jannat ko dil mein liye huye. But the person who has recognized Allah, he can feel the presence of Allah in his own heart. He can feel the closeness and that love for Allah. When that happens? When the heart is broken. Many times we're going to have to break our hearts. Our desires we will have to break. We will have to bring pain on ourselves. But for my Allah's sake, I will do it. And for that now, what is very, very important is now how to take guna out of our life. That is the main thing. That one is, we know guna is bad. Many people, Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi alayhi said, whole life they are trying, making effort. But they don't see themselves coming out. The reason is they haven't chosen the correct cure. The solution to the problem they haven't chosen. Just like how we hear always, that in salah many times shaitan will put many thoughts in our mind. That person who fights the thoughts, he will never come out of those thoughts. So a person has an evil thought in his mind during salah. He says, I mustn't have this thought. I mustn't think about these things here. He will keep on thinking about it by saying, I mustn't think about it. But all the man has to do, turn his attention towards Allah. And if he chooses the right solution and cure to his problem, quickly he'll be out and he'll be in concentration in salah and he'll be speaking to his Allah. Like that there in guna also, years have went by, but unfortunately what we needed in our life, those a'mal we needed in our lives to take us out of that sin. Those a'mal, either we haven't implemented it, or we've implemented it but half. We're not doing it properly. Because of the day, we're not finding full benefit. So I will just mention a few a'mal like this here. May Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, grant us all tawfiq. I hope we understood that sin is causing problems. It's causing worldwide problems, social problems. It's causing problems to me. My own life is going to become miserable through sin. The only way I can get close to Allah, I can sort out all my problems, I can live a life of happiness. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. Allah says, that person who turns away from dhikri, which Mufassirin explain as ita'ati, who turn away from my obedience, I will make his وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. This man will live a miserable life. And on the other hand, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. If you want happiness, peace, satisfaction, a content life, then that is found in the obedience of Allah. That is where it is. We have to look in the right place. So for to come out of these gunas, now just a few amal, may Allah grant us all tawfiq. The first amal, Hazrat Ali rahmatullahi alayhi gave a bayan called Tayseerul Islah. And in this bayan here, a very, very amazing bayan, it's translated also, I read the translation from Awdar al-Lum. In this bayan, Hazrat Ali rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned that the solution is not a very difficult solution. Because Allah, whenever He gives solution, He gives us easy solution. Allah wants to make things easy for us. But like our Hazrat Murana Abdul Hamid Sahib always mentioned, that the easy solutions, they don't appeal to us. We want some fantastic, dramatic things, then only we're happy that this is the right solution. Anything which is easy and simple, we say, no, too easy. If we have to pay money and go to a seminar to hear what we are hearing here in these majalis, then we'll go and we'll take notes. Every point we'll write down, because you paid 1,000 rand to go. But here we will come, we'll listen, and we'll go back. Because, unfortunately, my nature at least, I can't speak on anybody else's behalf, but my nature is that whatever we get for free, we don't value, we don't appreciate. So anyway, like this here now, just these cures which Allah has given us, very easy, very simple, but unfortunately we don't appreciate these kind of cures. The first cure, he said, the least we can do, is whenever we commit a guna, immediately perform 2 rakat salah and make tawbah. Whenever we commit a guna. Small guna, big guna. A guna which we regard as serious, which we don't regard, but we know it's wrong. Whenever we commit a guna, and remember gunas are very, very vast. They are gunas of shahwat. That is one type of guna. A person looking at pornography. A person looking at women. A person having a haram relationship. A person contacting non-mahram females. Having discussions over social media with them. These are certain sins. But there are other sins also which are spiritual, which come from within. And these sins here, especially to people who seem like they are deendar. So people will say, look, Maulana Imran, look, he's teaching in Darul Uloom, he's like that. But these sins here, very, very, certain things we can't do. Because why? What the people will say, our status in society, everyone will look, Maulana, how can he do something like that? But when it comes to sins like ghibat, then there, unfortunately, we are failing. We are absolutely failing in the matters of ghibat. Unfortunately, today with ulama also. And whatever ulama's opinions might be, whatever their opinion might be, but we got no right to criticize them. We have to leave the issue to the senior ulama. The senior ulama will discuss it, and not people. They will discuss issues. Unfortunately, we small little fries, but we want to discuss big, big things, and we are just deciding between big, big ulama, and we are deciding who's going to Jannat and who's going to Jahannam. With our small, filthy, dirty tongues, and we are discussing other people, we forgot about ourselves. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave 7 advices to Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. The last advice Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him, beautiful advices. He said, لِيَحْجِزْكَ عَنِ النَّاسِ مَا تَعْلَمُ مِن نَفْسِكَ. Your faults should make you forget about the faults of other people. Now ghibat has become so common. Lying, our Hazrat Mawlana recently, how much he's speaking. Lying, just lies just come out of our tongue. And we don't even feel bad about it. Rudeness, looking down upon others. Having discussions, oh, this person, he thinks he's like that. Or that person, he is like that. These things are destructive to us. It takes us very, very far away. These are sins. We have to understand them as sins. And sins is very general. Any type of disobedience of Allah, we all know what it is. Whether it be from the outside, whether it be from the inside. All these sins eat away at our heart. Now, as soon as we commit a sin, immediately perform 2 rakat salah and make tawbah. Hazrat Sami is saying, he said, if a person does this, the ayat of the Quran, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Hazrat Sami said, Allah just put this inspiration in my heart a few days before he gave this bayan. He said, Allah inspired me with this meaning of the ayah, which is a very general meaning. Any person who believes in Allah, and he makes tawbah, and he does good actions, then Allah will change the driving force within him, which is driving him towards evil. Allah will turn the attention of that force towards good. Now the desire, inclination in him will remain. It will remain. But it will be a weak inclination. And his desire to Allah's obedience will be a strong inclination. Because Allah will change that inclination now. From evil, Allah will change it to good. What an easy thing. And he said, really, if a person thinks, if we have to read 2 rakat namaz after every guna we commit, after a few days, your nafs will tell you, I'd rather not commit guna. Because the 2 rakat namaz is very, very heavy. Hazrat Sami mentioned this here. He said, the 2 rakat namaz is so heavy on the nafs, that a person, after a few days, he say, I'd rather give up guna. Nafs will also feel, I am in more comfort like this. So anyway, that is one thing. Make tawbah, turn to Allah, read 2 rakat salah, lift up our hands and beg Allah for forgiveness and beg Allah to remove us from this. A second thing, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned on one occasion, I think he was in reunion after one of the salat, he turned around, said, I want to just mention 2 points to you. One of the points we'll mention now. He said, if a person wants to come out of guna and sin, then one of the easy methods is that he must make it a constant practice of reciting La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Anybody who makes this a constant practice in his life, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the tafsir of these words to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. لا حول عن معصية الله إلا بإسمة الله ولا قوة على طاعة الله إلا بعون الله. I in no way can save myself from evil except if Allah protects me, and I in no way can do anything good except if Allah allows me and Allah helps me to do it. If a person continuously recites this with this meaning in mind, then very shortly he will see, one narration mentions that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears this from his banda, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces to the heavens, announces in the heavens, Aslama abdi wa staslam. My banda, he has become so obedient, he has become subservient to me, and he's handed over all his matters to me. He understands only I can do it, nobody else can do it. Inqada abdi wa tarak al-inad wa fawwada umur al-kainat ila Allah bi asriha. My banda is Siddiq has become obedient. By saying these words, Allah is already giving testimony. This banda is an obedient servant of mine. And he's handed over all his matters to me now. I will take care of getting him out of the sin. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, he said, now it is beyond the honor of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should allow the angels this opportunity. That the angels ask, oh Allah, this man is saying, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, whole day he's saying. And you are announcing, oh Allah, this man is an obedient servant of yours. And yet there on the surface of the earth, he's committing this guna and that guna. He's not stopping his sins. It can't happen. He said, it is against Allah's honor that Allah will leave this man. After Allah has made that announcement, slowly Allah will pull a man. In a few weeks, few days, he will see he's out of the sins. So this is one, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, very great amal. Another thing which Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, he said, if a person wants to come out, is muraqabah of death. We have to think of, we are going to pass away. And when we are going to go in our grave, we can't look at any woman. There the chance and opportunity of even looking will be gone. Forget woman, looking at halal, haram, nothing. Hazrat mentioned, he said, that there actually what will happen is your body, the insect will come and they will eat it away. And the ants will start playing cricket with your eyeballs. One will be kicking it this way, another one will be kicking it that way. He said, that time your cheeks will be eaten away by worms. Then the opportunity of keeping a wajib, compulsory beard won't even be there. The chance is gone. At that time now, if a person ponders, what am I going to do? I'm going to end in the qabr has two aspects, two divisions. One is, what will happen to my body? My body will rot in the grave. And I will have nobody there to help me. There will be nobody to see to me. I will have to answer the questions. And after answering the questions, then for some people they will answer right. And they will have only honor and enjoyment. Their life in the qabr will be already the introduction to Jannah. And another group of people, their punishment will start already. Scorpions and snakes will enter in the grave with them already. This is going to happen as soon as our eyes close. And we don't know when our eyes are going to close. Every day we have to ponder. Take out 1 minute. And these are important amal, which if they come in our life, our direction will be focused. Do this here, muraqabah of death every day. And we see slowly we start coming out of this evil we are involved in. One other amal which is very important, and this also very very important with regard to us especially, is that our prescribed ma'mulat, our zikr that we have to do every day, let us complete our adhkar. And let us do it with the two conditions, Hazrat Maulana always encourages us and reminds us, which Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, one is with pabandi. We must do it regularly. And the second thing is, ashtiqana and walihana. Remember Allah with love. This is our creator. We are taking his name. Our filthy tongues, really, it wasn't worthy of taking Allah's name. We were never deserving of taking Allah's mubarak and beautiful and wonderful name. Allah, out of his kindness, never only give us the chance of taking his name. Allah commanded us, you must take his name. Right? Now you must take with your filthy and dirty tongue, but my name you must take. Now we have to repeat Allah's name. And if we will make zikr correctly, with the prescribed muraqabah, and in the correct manner, with love of Allah, and with pabandi, every day without fail, our prescribed dhikr and ma'mulat we will do, then you will see very, very quickly, this is a proven prescription of the Sufiya. And they have tried it on hundreds and thousands of people. Our problem is that it's too simple. That is the problem. It is too simple. So we look so little bit dhikr, it doesn't look like anything. So either we'll finish it quickly, or we'll start cutting short here, we'll only do half, we'll only do quarter. Sometimes we won't do at all, depending on our moods on different days. Sometimes we'll fall asleep, what's going to happen? We're not going to take the free benefit. Then we want to come out of sins. We got the solution. It's been given to us already. But unfortunately, because we're not doing it properly, our zikr is very important. Hazrat Ami rahmatullah alayhi said, even if you don't come out of sin, but this much through zikr you will get, that when you commit sin, you will feel guilty about it. You say, I can't do this. How can I disobey my Allah? And while committing this sin, your heart will be uneasy. I shouldn't be here in the place where I am. If a person, inshallah, will bring about these four, what we have mentioned, four ilaj, just four. There are many others which the Mashayikh have mentioned, which our Hazrat has taught us. But just these four things, inshallah, hopefully this will be a very good starting point towards reaching this love of Allah, this friendship of Allah, which we are all aiming for, which is our objective. What four things? The first thing we explained from what we had discussed is that sin is harming us in every way possible. In our own lives, in our society, in the entire Muslim ummah, we are being harmed by sin. And remember, we can't change the sins of other people. We can encourage them. لا تكلف إلا نفسك وحرض المؤمنين. We are responsible for ourselves. Our problem, my problem at least, is the fear that we want to change everyone else, but we're not worried about ourselves. And our fikr mainly has to be for myself. I have to change, I have to correct. I have come to this Islahi Jalsa because I want to learn how to get Allah's friendship. I want to come out of sin. I want to become the friend of Allah. So if we understand sin is very harmful, but it is color, it is coated in sugar. It looks very tasty. Once a person goes deeper inside, he will find only poison. His life will become miserable. If we want to come out of this misery, we use simple amal, make tawbah whenever we commit a sin, and perform 2 rakat salah with it. Whenever we commit a sin. If we want to come out, and we really have made that intention, I don't want to disobey Allah first. Second thing, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, if possible, 7 times after every salah. Third thing, make muraqabah of death. Realize we are going to pass away very soon. And after passing away, we got no choice. Because we have to give up sin. Now in the world, if we give it up, we will give it up happily. If we pass away and give it up, then it's just given up. We have to give it up anyway. Then we haven't achieved anything. Now is the time. Think of death. Think daily of our death. We are going to pass away one day. And the last thing is our prescribed ma'mulat, our dhikr. Make sure with pabandi and with love, we fulfill this year. Inshallah, may Allah make it a reality for me, may Allah make it a reality for all of us, that this sin which is a blockage between us and Allah, the sin must be removed, and we can fly towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, into Allah's ma'rifat, into Allah's recognition, into Allah's love. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.